Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Coming to you today with truth from God's word, edification, encouragement, helping you on your walk in Christ. Today I want to talk about, are you fighting the wrong enemy? Are you fighting the wrong enemy? This teaching topic is inspired by one of God's feathered creatures, a red cardinal on our homestead. We'll get to that in a minute. First a scripture, Psalm 41:11. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy do not triumph over me. So let's get to this topic. As we're taking some time this winter to be on our off-grid homestead in central Missouri, getting some things done that we have long put aside because we've been traveling, preaching, getting ready before we head out again to go preach the gospel in the streets, we have been interestingly watching this male red cardinal spend his days, hours upon hours on our homestead, attacking anything he can find that has his own reflection. We've got a shiny water bucket. We've got a barbecue grill lid. We've got the car windows and the mirror on the car. And he spends his day after day ferociously fighting his own reflection. Now, obviously, the Creator God put in him certain things. They have territories, mating seasons, all of that. He must be trying to defend his territory, it seems. Now, he's very persistent, and he's well-meaning, but the question must be asked, is he fighting the right enemy? See, he thinks he sees an enemy in his reflection, and he's set on attacking it, driving it off, but in truth, he's a very, very deceived cardinal. The Creator clearly did not intend for this red bird to be doing what he's doing, fighting himself. So I have no doubt that another male cardinal is probably going to swoop into his area, take his female from him, as he's preoccupied with fighting his own reflection, a losing battle that his Creator did not tell him to take on. Keep that in mind as we go on now. So this got me thinking about the many so-called Christians in America and around the world that I communicate with or reach out to me in denominational Christianity, Anabaptist world, whatever. And they are a lot like this cardinal, focused on the wrong enemy, fighting battles that God never intended they fight. I believe that they've been tricked, like this cardinal, into focusing their energy in the wrong places, the wrong wars, the wrong enemies, all to their demise. So you might be saying, well, what does this really matter? Why is this an important topic? Well, actually, this matters, and it's very important for some various reasons. Here are just a few. To rightly serve God, we have to focus on what God desires we focus on. Amen? You serve a king, you serve what he wants you to serve, not what you do and what you decide to do. Fighting the wrong battles is not obeying God or loving God. We love God by obeying God. It's also not redeeming the time that he gives us, and it's fleeting, going by quickly. It's not loving or preaching the gospel to our lost neighbors, right? Nope. It's not a good witness of him or of our own lives to the rest of the world. It's not serving his kingdom to come, right? It is rebellion as we do what we want to do versus what he's commanded. So do we really need any more reasons than that to make sure that we're fighting the right battles? I don't think so. So moving on, it's my contention, as I've lived in ministry and been following Christ for many years now, that the mainstream Christians, the denominational Christianity, has been taken over by real evil enemies, the media, corrupt false teachers, the churches, organizations. And they are being taught and teaching, these so-called saints, are being taught to fight the wrong battles. You know, it's a lot like the founding of America. When England was controlling America and the colonies decided they wanted freedom because of too high taxes, the people that believed in God and the pastors picked up guns and went and fought and killed people for patriotism and freedom. This was the wrong battle, the wrong fight, not of God, not of Christ. That's going on in America today. So I want to discuss some of the enemies that these so-called Christians are taught to focus on wrongly, like that red bird being distracted. Let's focus on a few of these. What does God's word tell us is our real enemy? We'll get to that. First, we're going to focus on what people are distracted by. Then we're going to get to what God's word says is our real enemy. So here we go. What are people distracted by like that red cardinal? Politics. Yeah, most so-called saints are up to their ears in political opinions, interests, talking, fighting in some way or another for politics. They believe, they've been trained, it's good and godly to fight in America here, and this is happening around the world where there's freedoms, to make their life better so that they don't lose freedom. I have many articles and I teach on this. There's groups called Christian nationalism and dominionism, and they are all about fighting in politics for freedom and favor so that they can live a cushy life, have more freedom, have more things. All right, dominionism teaches we got to take over. They have to take over the culture in seven areas so that God can rule and reign. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. I have articles on dominionism. I have articles on Christian nationalism. They spend hours and hours, days and days, months and months, weeks and weeks, fighting over laws and elections, going to these political rallies mixed with Christianity, ecumenicalism, false heresy, doctrines all over the place. They don't care. They're fighting for freedom. They'll link up with just about anybody. And they're a lot like that cardinal. They're fighting a losing battle with the wrong enemy. The true enemy has them distracted. We'll get to that. Apostle Paul said, no soldier gets entangled in the affairs of the world so he can serve the one that he's supposed to serve. Amen? So politics is a wrong enemy to be fighting if you're a so-called Christian. Being consumed with elections and the politics of carnal man is not serving God's kingdom. How about the next one? The economy. Yeah, again, most so-called Christians in denominational churchianity are always concerned and battling for the pocketbook, their retirement accounts, not paying higher taxes. They're all worried about inflation and prices going up. It is an overtaking factor in so many people's lives. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. So if you get consumed, all right, money's not evil. But if you focus on it more than the battles God called us to and the wars and the enemies that God's called us to, you are an idolater. If you're more worried about the economy, your 401k, and taxes than God's word, preaching the gospel, living holy, living separate from the world, you are an idolater. Jesus said, what good is it if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Fighting for money and things and material gain is not serving God's kingdom. How about the next one? Culture and media wars. Not a day goes by that I don't hear about or hear from so-called churchianity people. They're striving against this perverted culture, the liberal media. They're focusing on changing laws. They're upset about this. They're mad about that. They're fighting for their freedoms. They're worried about their children's future. They want their kids to have a better life than them. Why? Did God ever say that's going to make them holy? No, the opposite's probably true. If they have a tougher life, they actually might reach out and value God more than anything, but that's another whole topic. Did God call us into a culture war and a media war? No, not at all. And all we need to do is look at the life of Jesus and Paul, the men we're supposed to imitate, per 1 Corinthians, and see that Paul and Jesus did not get involved in politics, culture wars. They lived in wicked Rome, or in Israel under wicked Rome. They didn't get involved in any of this. What did they do? They lived for God. They preached the gospel. They lived holy, obeying the Father in heaven. Fighting culture wars and corrupt media is not serving God's kingdom. How about a more recent one? COVID and vaccines. Yep, of late, COVID, the last 2 years, is all the rage. People are all set on fighting about it, consumed with it, arguing over it, battling about it, worried about it, losing sleep, losing their hope. They seem to fail to realize that God will not have you die 1 second sooner than what he has ordained. but ye fear a virus more than they fear God and his kingdom and his word. I preach that a lot when I go out. The Bible says there's a time appointed for a man to die, then face judgment. God has it all in control. I understand nobody wants to get sick. All right, it's wise to take certain precautions that make sense. But an over-focus on the pandemic, the vaccine, got people saying it's the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. I have articles on that. People so consumed with this present so-called pandemic, but they're not consumed with the truth, the kingdom of God that's coming, the gospel living holy. That is not serving the kingdom of God, worried about COVID and a vaccine. Worry is a sin. We're to be anxious about nothing, and we're to fear only God himself. Amen? Amen. How about socialism? Here in America, and I know all around the world, freedom, patriotism, fighting against socialism, it's an idolatrous thing that goes on in so-called churchianity. They war against anything that would take away their freedoms, harm their standing, take away their rights. They say, if we lose our rights, how can we preach the gospel? Well, two problems. One, they're not preaching the gospel with the rights they have. And two, they're all preaching a false gospel. Look at America. 250 years of denominational churchianity, and it is corrupt, paganized, worldly, carnal, satanistic. It's a mess. It needs the biblical gospel, not more freedom for denominational religion. But again, that's another topic. I say this, if America stays free, then we preach the gospel as believers. If we end up in a socialist country with less freedoms, we preach the gospel here just the same. If we have to go to jail over it and be persecuted, then God will be glorified all the more in us for our suffering, our perils, and our tribulation. Do you see how wrong of a mindset it is to fight for earthly freedom, to fight against socialism, and to put God's gospel and the eternal kingdom on the back burner because of your worry about your present standing in the world or your country? No, we're not to be worried about earthly freedom. We're to be living for God's eternal kingdom. Fighting socialism is not serving God's kingdom. So I gave you a list of some. I want to be clear. I don't think it's sinful if you know about those topics. I know about them. If you prepare or you try to have a godly influence in some way in these areas, I'm not saying it's sinful if you do that, but when it becomes your overriding passion, you talk about it, you live it, you spend your time on it, you're not preaching the gospel, you're not living holy, you're not drawing close in God's word, you're not out preaching the gospel if you're called to, you're not living holy and influencing your neighbors with your witness, and you start associating with those who live for these worldly carnal topics at these conferences, your churches are liberal, the pastors are liberal, the media you watch is liberal, the radio stations you listen to that you should throw it anyway is all liberal. You are now acting in idolatry and rebellion against God's design for his holy body if you claim his name. You need to repent if that's you. I was there once. I had to repent and get out of politics and the world and all the things around me and get in the word of God. It only leads to death. His word leads to the life and spirit. So remember, Jesus said, this world is not his kingdom. Why are you fighting for it? This world is not his kingdom. He said, if this was, my servants would fight. Ponder that as you're fighting for all these systems and things in the world around you. What's your priority, the kingdom of God or your comfort here on earth? So now I want to take you to, let's look at the real enemies that the Bible says that we should be aware of and then do biblical spiritual battle. We'll get to that. How about the devil? Yeah. Matthew 13:39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Yes, Satan is a true enemy of ours. We should be aware. We should be ready to do spiritual battle using great wisdom. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's a real enemy. We should be aware, not over-focused, but we should be aware of him and his minions and the things that they're doing against us, against our walk, so that we can be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says Satan is the god of this world. We know the world is evil, so we must be aware of that and walk very circumspectly, walk with wisdom, walk with discernment in all things that we do. So the enemy definitely is, the devil is definitely an enemy that is worthy to do spiritual battle in our lives. How about death? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Christ took care of that for us, and it will be overcome when we all get to eternity. There'll be no more death. What a glorious thing. 2 Timothy 1:10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isn't that glorious? What a glorious thing. Death was an enemy. It is an enemy. It's coming for all of us. But at his coming or at our death, we're going to go be with him. We won't face the second death if we're born of the gospel. Go to don'tperish.com. Click on the gospel link. Test yourself to the gospel. Make sure you're born of God and following him obediently to holiness as fruit that you know him. Yeah, death is an enemy that we need to be aware of, and we need to be walking, serving God in the spirit, not in the flesh. How about family as the next one? Yeah, family can be a real enemy. Matthew 10:21, and the brother shall deliver a brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Yeah, you need to ponder that. A lot of us, not a lot, almost every Christian I know has family members that are not Christians. Most of their family are not Christians. They can seem loving, and while they're blood relatives, they can become your enemy very quickly. We see it over and over. So this is something to be aware of, to pray about, to walk with wisdom. Family definitely can be your enemy. How about your flesh? Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Oh, yeah, the flesh is a very big enemy of ours. Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Yeah, Christ rescued us from that. So the flesh, ponder that. It's your enemy. Crucify it. Kill it. Don't serve it. Don't walk and live in the flesh. How about the next one, real enemies, false teachers and false religion. Acts 13:9-10. Then Paul said, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? This guy was trying to lure away a convert from the Lord to himself in sorcery. Paul rebukes him. False teachers, modern pastors, churchianity, false gospels, evangelicalism, Roman Catholicism, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, all these cults, Anabaptists, Hebrew roots, enemies of the few and the true biblical gospel, the few people living it and following it. Jesus said, it will be few. How about Mark 7:7-9? Jesus said, how be in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines and commandments of men, laying aside the commandment of God. Ye hold to the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups. Many such things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your own traditions. Yep, that's churchianity, Roman Catholic, evangelical, whatever. Following man-made ways, it's an enemy of the truth. We have to be aware of that. Make sure that we're not swept up in that. How about Galatians 1:8-9? But though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you, that which have not preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say now I again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So false religion, false doctrine, false gospels, definitely an enemy you should be aware of. living your life in the Word of God, learning and studying is going to help you defeat that enemy. Amen? How about another enemy? The world. Matthew 10:22. You should be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endured to the end shall be saved. So the world hates the biblical gospel. They love churchianity. They love denominationalism. They love all these cults in many cases that just lets you live any way you want. When you stand for the righteousness and the truth of God, like Noah, like the prophets, like the disciples, the world will hate you and want to imprison you and kill you. They're a real enemy that we must be aware of. James 4:4. Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So you want to be a friend of the world? You're an enemy of God. Very clear. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, in my topic where I said people are fighting politics and economy, yeah, that's part of the world. But what that means when we're talking about the world is the enemy, we don't fight it. We don't go and start fighting politics or fighting the economy or fighting this or that. What it means is they're the enemy. We don't live like the world. We repent. We come out of that system and world. Then we live holy, and men that are called to and women also get to witness. We preach the gospel with our witness and with words and the gospel into that world, but we stand outside of it calling to the lost. Come out of her, my people, the Bible says, and touch not the unclean thing, and God will receive us. The world is unclean and full of sin and unrighteousness. It definitely is an enemy to be aware of. And again, even the people in the world who hate us, as his children, God's children, we're not to pick fights. We're not to strive against all the things going on. We're to love them per Jesus. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So that's a hard one to do, but we're called to do it in the spirit. Love our enemies, not fight against the system and the culture. Love, preach the gospel, live holy. So those are some of the main enemies. Knowing this and how we approach these battles is the key. It's by his spirit. It's by his word. And Revelation 12:11 says it's by his blood and our testimony that we are going to overcome. Are you focused on those things? The spirit, the word, the blood of Christ, your own testimony? That's how we're going to overcome. Not by politics, not by the economy, not by masks and vaccines, not by overcoming socialism. Those are all temporary things. We're talking eternal things here, right? Amen, we are. So as believers, we have many battles to face in this biblical faith walk. Jesus, our Lord, Savior, Master, Creator, said, we will have much tribulation, but that we can rejoice. I love this. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I love that. He has overcome all those enemies I just described to you already. What a glorious Savior we have. That's why we need to be focused on him, his word, his spirit. Our focus needs to be on him and not all the distractions, like this red bird picking a fight with himself. We need to be living for Christ, not distracted. So you might be asking, well, how do we fight these real enemies? Now, you told me about the real enemies and not the fake ones. How do we fight them? Well, our main enemy, the devil, we resist him and he flees, it says in James. The flesh, another main enemy, we're to crucify it daily, kill it, subdue it, so that we don't live in it, walk in it, that leads to death. We walk in the spirit. And all these other battles and all these enemies, we take them on this way. Ephesians 6:10-17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's that enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What a glorious set of verses for us. We need to be focused on that, saints. Not the news, not the media, not politics, not COVID, not the economy, not socialism. We need to be focused on that. Our battle is in the Spirit. That's how we're going to overcome. What a glorious, glorious message. 1 Corinthians 15:25. I love this. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Yep, God's going to put all enemies under his feet one day. The Bible says, let vengeance be the Lord's, not ours. We need to be patient, trust in the Father. He knows what he's doing. His time is perfect. Our timing is not. I hope you're trusting in that. Not looking at the world and man's ways. They'll let you down every time. Our reasonable service is to stay focused on our Creator, our Father, through the Savior, His Word, live out in holiness and obedience. We're to live our proper calling, whatever that is. You're called to be a mother, a housewife, an evangelist, a teacher, a mentor, whatever you're called to do. You're to live that out, loving the brethren, preaching the gospel in any way God gives you the opportunity to, winning the lost, having a witness for the Lord to people around you, looking for His coming, looking for His kingdom to come, praying unceasingly, not trying to set up an easy life here, not to make more paradise on earth, a better government, better economy. No, that's fighting the wrong enemies. Don't be like that cardinal I'm talking about. Fighting the wrong, losing battle, your own reflection in a mirror. This world and Satan, yeah, the media, the organization, Satan, has convinced all of these false Christians and denominationalism to be fighting the wrong enemies, taking their eye off what really matters. Otherwise, they'd be studying the Word, seeing all the error and false ways and lies, and they'd be fleeing back to the Father. Instead, they're caught up in the ways of the world. They're being deceived, like that red cardinal I'm talking about. Here's a warning. I've watched that bird. There's a hawk in our area here. I've seen this hawk take other birds. If that red cardinal is not careful, he's going to be fighting his reflection to the point that hawk's going to get him. Yep, that hawk's going to get him one day. And Satan will do the same to you or me, lest we be wise as serpents. We watch out for his craftiness. We walk in the Spirit, putting on the Ephesians 6 armor, and be focused on what God has called us to do, how to live, what are our real enemies, not to be living for the ways of the world. I hope you, again, go test yourself at thegospeldon'tperish.com. Ponder this. I hope you ponder this, enemies that you've been focused on, things that you're worried about, things that consume your time and your effort, and then make the corrections you need in your life. I had to many years ago. I had to swallow my pride, say I was wrong about so many things I used to live for before I was a believer. And I had to get my life, my priorities in order for the kingdom of God. What a glorious thing it is to be able to do that. Go make those corrections. Repent. Get your battles right. Get your enemies right. Get your striving and your time redeeming right. Get your gospel right. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. I hope this has been encouraging to you. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Thousands of articles to help you on all these topics I've talked about. Make sure you know who your real enemies are. Make sure you're living, walking in the Spirit, in the Word. You're redeeming the time. Focus on what God's called you to do. Don't be distracted like that red cardinal. It's going to be to his demise. Set your eyes on the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, I'll leave it here, my favorite verse, one of them. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Being caught up in everything that's going on in the world is not seeking the kingdom of God. Go ponder that. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. We love you all. Till God lets me come to you again next time. Have a glorious day. May God be praised.